Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will read the roll.
Roll call for Thursday. For Thursday, February 5th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend. Vasey.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Veit. Better do that. Where is it? Is it this one? Okay. Whoops. Okay.
That was the opening to the prayer. After a moment of silence, I'd like to offer a prayer for quiet confidence. O God of peace, you have taught us that in returning in rest, we shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. Amen.
Ma'am, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Reading correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 4th, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Journal Committee report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Dr. Jerry Smith from Cheyenne. Welcome to the Senate, Dr. Smith. Nurse for the day is Connie Johns from Cheyenne. Thought for the day. It is no longer a question of staying healthy. It's a question of finding a sickness you like. Messages from the House.
February the 4th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 274, Underage Drinking, ayes 18, noes 42. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. House Bill number 18, Voting Rights, ayes 26, noes 33, absent 1. The bill has been definitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 241, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 241, sponsored by Representative Berger, Criminal Background Checks Retirement System, and Act Relating to the Wyoming Retirement System. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 241 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 33, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 33, sponsored by Representative Hammonds, Expanded Opportunity Pilot Program, an act relating to public education. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 47, noes 13.
House Bill 33 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 225, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 225, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Bighorn Sheep, Ewe and Lamb Licenses, and Act Relating to Game and Fish. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 225 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 38, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 38, sponsored by the Local Government Committee, Fiscal Year for Governmental Entities, and Act Relating to Governmental Entities. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 38 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 195, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 195, sponsored by Representative Brown, Real Estate Act Amendments, and Act Relating to the Real Estate Licensing Act of 1971. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 195 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. I assume that's correct. Is that right? Which number is it? It's referred to Committee Number 7, excuse me, Corporations. House Bill 156, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 156, sponsored by Representative Brechtel, Energy Performance Contracting 2, and Act Relating to Economic Development. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 10, conflict 1.
House Bill 156 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 39, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend. No, Senator Meyer, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 112, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin, Senator Larson, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 43, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February the 4th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 182, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin, Senator Larson, Chairman. February the 4th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 59, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin, Senator Larson, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Are they generally on the back? Are they white in the jacket? Okay. Senate File 18, second reading of the Senate file.
Mental injury workers' compensation.
There are some amendments. Senate File 18, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Would the reading clerk please read that amendment?
Senate File 18, Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Substitute Bill Number 1, page 2, line 14.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 18.
Got it.
Mr. Vice President, what this does, this goes into the bill, and I'll draw your attention to page 2, line 14. Again, the word or. The word or expands the coverage for mental health care under the workman's comp. Everything preceding that is basically old language. It's what we already cover, with one exception, which is the timeline. I'll deal with that in a moment. But the or on line 14 expands the coverage to emergency care workers, as defined in the substitute bill. What the amendment does, it goes in and deletes that additional sector of coverage. In other words, we keep the old language, but we would not carve out of the working force in Wyoming the category of emergency services. We wouldn't go there. It deletes that specialty coverage for those folks. Mr. Vice President, the reason I'm doing this is a couple reasons. One, I'm very nervous about going into our workman's comp program and carving out a category of employee and saying we're going to cover them for basically this is post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to cover a single small group of employees, but not all the rest of the state employees that are covered by workman's comp. I find that patently unfair. But a more important reason is this type of coverage no one can tell us what this is going to cost. Basically, that's it. I mean, they don't know. They don't have any idea. They say we think it's about 3%, but we don't know how many there is, and we really don't know what the coverage costs. We just don't know. Other states have gone down this road, and quite frankly, there's a large state on the Pacific coast that went down this road, and finally it broke their system. And they had to back off and say, we cannot cover that. What I'm proposing with this amendment is to proceed very cautiously in having workman's comp provide this type of care. What the bill would then do is it covers post-traumatic stress disorder, as in the coverage we've always had, but extends the timeline from 6 months to 12 months. What I'm suggesting to you is, if we're going to provide this coverage, let's go very, very cautiously. Let's see what happens in terms of our fund by providing the extra 6 months of coverage, and let's wait and see what happens with that before we start bringing in a category of employee that we really have no idea what the expense will be. Mr. Vice President, over the last, since 93, however many years ago that was, we have reformed our workman's comp system. It was, in fact, broke in 93. They had to wait till the premiums came in to write the checks. We have, in the intervening years, we have made our workman's comp fund healthy. Now we're starting down the road of expanding benefits. We should. No question. We should do that. But I'm asking the Senate to vote for this amendment and say, yes, we'll expand coverage, but we'll do it very cautiously. We'll do it one segment at a time. Let's see what actually happens. In visiting with the workman's comp people, either they don't have the figures or they can't track the figures. Well, that tells me we better be very, very cautious. I do not want to be back in the position we were in 93, where we had a workman's comp system, but no money in it. And this narrows down the coverage to a certain extent. But I think it's fiscally prudent. It makes sense in terms of our employers and our employees. This is a protection for them as well. So the coverage would go from 6 months to 12 months. I'm all for that. I support the bill. But I cannot support singling out a category of employee and saying, you get special treatment. And by the way, employers, we have no idea what it costs. We have no idea at all. None of the figures you'll hear are verifiable. Workman's comp does not track it. They don't track it. And I could describe what a guess is, but that's what it is. It's just, they're just pulling numbers out of the air. I'd be happy to stand for questions.
Discussion? Senator Bebout.
Chairman, I'm in favor of this amendment, and I did get some information on the part that talks about subsection 922, and it's a big list of different people, and I'm not sure what that impact is. And so I think this is a good amendment. Let's proceed cautiously. Our good colleague from Casey made some good points. I think this is a very good amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Vice President, first thing I'm going to do is ask for the yeas and nays in this amendment. And, Mr. Vice President, I do that because I think this is perhaps a fundamental issue in the bill. Without this portion of the bill that's being deleted with this amendment, we haven't got much. We do want to be very cautious, Mr. Vice President, in getting into this area. We go into this area whole hog, you can bust a system. No question about it. California did. At least that's my understanding. But this is a very limited piece that we're seeking to. It's your first responders. And there's a known problem in this particular area with this post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I think it's reasonable that we cover this. I think we've got to take some steps. And we're having difficulty getting figures from the department. and I think it's quite clear also that they are not enthusiasts for going down this road at all. Whether that's linked with their difficulties in making any estimates or not, I wouldn't pretend to know. But the plain fact of the matter is we don't think there are going to be very many of them, just from common knowledge of how frequently this sort of thing occurs, but we don't have hard figures. I think the sensible thing to do is to go down this road on a limited basis, probably for a limited time period, find out how much it's really going to cost, and then make a more informed decision as to probably not do we want to go down this road at all, but how do we want to constrain what we pay for and what we do. So I would urge us to defeat this bill, or defeat this amendment, pass the bill, but defeat the amendment, because it will take the first step. It will get us the information that we need to be able to evaluate how far we want to go in the future, whether we need to put additional conditions on this. So I think if you're going to do anything in this area, you ought to take care of this specialized group where we know there is a problem. And then once you've done that and we have hard figures, we can consider should we broaden it to all employees or should we further limit it and limit the kinds of treatment we can get.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vice President. As I, too, am rising to ask you to defeat this amendment, we have some future amendments here that I think will speak to and better have a level of comfort. As far as the cost goes, I discussed yesterday with, I called the director, and he emailed me back yesterday afternoon, and he did present some numbers in committee. What he's telling us is that on a worst-case scenario, and that's inclusive of wages, reimbursement, and clinical care, to the amount of around $50,000 for an annual cost for an individual. Now, he's saying that that's worst-case scenario. As I brought up yesterday, when you're dealing with post-traumatic stress and the fact that workers' comp is designed to get people back to work, that he acknowledges that typically people will be back to work much quicker in these kind of situations because it's a lot different than a physical injury. So he's given us the numbers of approximately $50,000 or looking at $50,000 on a worst case scenario based on experiences that they've had with mental injury, physical injury combined. Now, he also, when I asked specifically, would this cause anyone to be put into a different risk bracket, therefore raising their premiums? Absolutely not. That was his exact words to me. Absolutely not. That the fund, that this is not of substantial impact, that it would cause any of the entities involved to be put into a different risk bracket, therefore automatically raising their premiums. It wasn't going to happen. That's right from the director. Now, right now we know that the fund has a substantial amount of money, and he's just saying that they're able to absorb that right now. It's not, and the best that they could find in looking through their records was two cases of post-traumatic stress since 2006. So the reason we focused on this area, Mr. Chairman, was that it was diagnosable. Or Mr. Vice President, it's diagnosable, and it doesn't open to a full gambit of types of mental injuries that has the concerns. Mr. Chairman, I ask you that, you know, and as far as the question that came up about the Section 922s, that simply is the document that the division goes by to assess the risk potential for each employer. It just simply refers to the document they use for the different classifications. He told me that there was approximately 110 different categories that they use. It's simply a document that they refer to find the categories for the risk assessment for each of the individuals. Mr. Chairman, we did specifically talk about first responders. And the reason why, after much discussion with the division and others involved, that these are the people that see the most horrific types of situations. These are the people that, yes, they have some training, but you can never prepare somebody for some of the things that they see on a day-in and day-out basis. And remember, we are very specifically saying that this is post-traumatic stress, a single event type of thing to trigger the benefits. And for a group of people that typically see these kind of situations, if we pass this amendment, Mr. Vice President, what we're saying then is, yes, we're going back to the old language where a physical injury has to be the cause of your mental injury. In the case of post-traumatic stress,
30 seconds.
You don't have that luxury of having a physical injury tying to a mental injury. I ask you to resist this amendment, and it makes sense to modernize our statutes in this area.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes a second time. Mr. President.
I'm supporting the amendment, but if the department cannot determine what the cost is, how can they say that there would be no increase in premiums at a later date? You know, this just doesn't make a lot of sense to me if they can't provide us what the cost will be and then they turn around and say there's no chance of the risk causing rates to be increased. Well, I think we'd better be pretty cautious in that area.
Further discussion? Senator Schiffer?
Mr. Vice President, and as the Senate well knows, I support mental health care. I've dealt with it, and I've worked on it for many years. I support it wholeheartedly. But the problem is that we're opening up a fund for access that in fact, it can go broke. We have seen it go broke. What you heard is that, yes, we can cover the costs and not raise rates because we have a surplus, which means that we're going to take the money out of the surplus. If you keep taking money out of the surplus, and we do it on our biennial budget, pretty quick, you're in trouble. And understand, because we open that six-month window to a 12-month window, no one knows what this costs. Basically, yes, we can. Well, I'm not sure they can track it for the six-month window. But what is left in the bill is a 12-month window. And we've never covered that before. It is, they just don't have the figures that are reliable. The 12-month window is appropriate. If you talk about treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome, 12 months is appropriate treatment. It may even take longer, but it's certainly better than 6 months. And all I'm saying is, let's go cautiously. Let's see. We can come back and revisit it a year from now or 2 years from now. But let's proceed very cautiously in this area of care. I ask you to support the amendment.
The ayes and nays have been called for. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Honeycutt,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
By your vote, Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 has passed second reading. Members of the Senate, I'm going to take a break in the action for just a moment, if I may. Hope the protocol is okay. We have, and I'd like to introduce to you today, sitting in the floor, if they would stand, please, a young man by the name of Jacob Zumo, a.k.a. Zach Zumo. He's also here with his parents, Ann and Tom Zumo, if they'd stand. Jacob is the only Wyoming student ever to win first place in the National History Day competition, junior division documentary competition. This young man researched and wrote and produced a 10-minute documentary entitled Courage and Convictions, The Many Conflicts of the Black 14. He spent several months researching and interviewing and producing this winning documentary. He competed on the district level in Cheyenne, then at the state level at the University of Wyoming, and finally on to the University of Maryland, where he competed against 100 other students in his division. This is not Jacob's first time to attend the National History Day competition. When he was a sixth grader, his research and documentary was entitled Mayhem and Massacre, the Anti-Chinese Riot in Rock Springs, Wyoming. He didn't place nationally, but at that competition he was dubbed Wyoming's future Ken Burns. This year, Jacob has already started his project for competition. The national theme is the individual in history, action, and legacy. He is researching Admiral Husband E. Kimmel, the controversial figure who was in charge when Pearl Harbor was bombed. Mr. Zach Zumo received a resolution from the House of Representatives congratulating him on his achievements, having had a son and a daughter also make it to the National History Day Finals. I know what an achievement it is for us to have to honor this individual. And with that, I'd ask that the Senate honor Zach Zumo. We are back on Senate File 18. There is a second committee, second reading amendment, and I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 18, second reading amendment number 2 to substitute bill number 1. Delete the Schiffer-Geis second reading amendment.
You've heard the reading of the second reading amendment. What's your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does, and it is divisible for anybody who might be concerned with preserving the effect of the amendment we did a moment ago, it is divisible. What it does is it says we'll make these changes that the bill is calling for, the expansion to from 6 months to 12 months for a two-year period. We'll get a report from the department on how much it really cost, and then we'll come back and we'll have to have a separate bill because the changes will expire after 2 years. So at the next general session, what we'll see if this amendment passes is a separate bill to expand that. We can do that knowing exactly what it's going to cost based on the actual experience. That's what the amendment does, Mr. Vice President, and it is divisible.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Schiffer.
Vice President, I would ask to divide this amendment. Mr. Vice President, for Division 1, I would like to divide out lines 3 through 5 on page 1 and lines 25 through 33 on page 1. Mr. Vice President, if I can explain what I'm doing.
Is that the only, then the rest of the amendment is?
And the rest would be Division 2, yes, Mr. Vice President. What I'm trying to do, and I think I've done it, is to leave in the amendment we just, the Division 1 would deal with the amendment that we just passed, and Division 2 deals with the sunset date and the reporting requirement. I believe that's what I've done.
Senator Scott.
I think you should include lines 22, 23, and 24 in your Division 1. They relate to the amendment we just passed as well.
Emergency providers, yes. So if I may, Mr. President, would be, it would be lines.
There we go. Okay.
On page 1, lines 3 through 5, and on page 1, lines 22 through 33 would be Division 1. And the balance of second reading amendment would be Division 2.
Okay. That does appear to be divisible. Would you like to address the first division, Senator Schiffer?
Mr. Vice President, I'll be brief. What this does, we just had a long and I think a very good discussion on emergency providers. The amendment before this one, amendment number 1, took them out of coverage. If you vote this down, it means that they stay out of coverage from this workman's comp bill. I don't know whether we need to debate all that again, but that's what I'm intending.
Further discussion on Division 1. Senator Scott?
And the only thing that Division 1 does different than the issue we just did deal with is it does say if we're going to do it, we'll do it for just 2 years. And come back to revisit the issue with a report saying this is what it actually did cost us.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question on Senate second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 18? All those say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor of Division 1 of Senate File 18, Division 1, please stand. Those opposed. Division 1 has failed. We are now on Division 2. Senator Scott.
Chairman, and what this does is say we'll do the extension of time of the, we're now covering these injuries, mental injury associated with a physical injury. We've been covering those right along. We're extending by 6 months from 6 to 12 months after the end of the physical injury, the length of time for which we'll provide the mental injury. And what this amendment says is we'll do that for 2 years, find out exactly what it did cost with the report, and then come back and revisit the issue.
Further discussions? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just a question. Ultimately, I guess I'm struggling with what they're going to study. Are they going to somehow find out the first responders that would be, or is it just a study of what the effect and the cost of extending this 12 months to the people who are already covered is going to be?
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, fair question. Because the first responders, with the amendment that was passed a few moments ago and the defeat of Division I of this amendment, the first responder issue is out. They won't study that. There won't be anything to study. We didn't authorize it. What they'll study with this is for the people, and these are people that are already covered in workers' comp, but the limit on the mental injury coverage is currently 6 months after the physical injury is cured up. We're extending that limit with this bill to 12 months, and what they're going to tell us is how much does that extension, how much did it actually cost? And that's all they'll tell us, but they will tell us that, and then we'll come back with the amendment in 2 years. The provision will be removed, so if we want to continue it, we'll have to pass a bill saying we're going to continue it.
All those in favor of the division number 2 to second reading amendment to Senate File 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That portion of the amendment has passed. We have another amendment. Senator Hastert. Senator Hastert, would you say that again, because I didn't get your mic?
Mr. Vice President, I would like to withdraw that amendment at this time.
Without objection, it is withdrawn. Senate File 18 having been read 2 times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 27, second reading of the Senate file.
Outdoor lighting.
Senate File 27 does have an amendment. The reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 27, second reading amendment number 1. Delete the Senate Committee of the Whole amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move first reading amendment or second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 27 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is go into the Committee of the Whole amendment, which provided some protection to the mineral industry and just adds in agricultural practices in those two areas for cities, towns, and then also in the area for counties. It basically, Mr. Vice President, provides the same kind of protection that the mineral industry got in their amendment to agricultural practices. There's some a fairly big change in how agricultural practices are from the time, the origination of the light bulb and today. A lot of the larger farm implements are stretching out there 40 or 50 feet, 60 feet, and you need some lighting on some of the tractors so you can make a 200-foot, 300-foot swing out there because you've got some high-power lines out there and you've got other obstacles that you have to see, and it's really kind of a safety thing that those type of practices aren't regulated. And so this just provides some level of safety and security, I guess, to the agriculture producer to know that there's going to be some reasonableness associated with any regulations. And I think especially because there's no limit to the, the basis for which lights can be regulated after the amendments we had on the Committee of the Whole, because they were regulated just to light trespass and light pollution. And now there's absolutely no basis and no direction to given to the county commissioners or the city council as to how lighting could be or should be regulated. So without any direction, I think we need some protection. And I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott?
Mr. Vice President, speaking on and against the amendment, as one who is, I earn my living in agriculture, it's what I do. Frankly, in the operations in our part of the world, the kind of lighting you see is pretty standard, hesitate to call it street lighting, but big lights that illuminate your front yard, farmstead. We had one. There was one on the place when we bought it. We took it down after a few years in the course of building a new shop, and we didn't bother to put it up. I'm sure the REA was disappointed, but we didn't bother to put it back up, and we've been very happy with the result. So that's my way, I guess, of telling the Senate what my personal prejudice is. The kinds of lighting we use in agriculture are the sort of things that are appropriately regulated if a county chooses to regulate outdoor lighting. They're the kinds of things where you put the shielding on, you get the light you need, you don't send it all over the county. And I think this amendment tends to gut the bill. I don't think agriculture has the kinds of specialized lighting needs that you would have, say, in a drill rig or a coal mine. And the amendment yesterday adequately protects those. I think we ought to leave well enough alone and let this bill proceed, let the county commissioners deal with it. And I don't see anything in the bill as written that would purport to or pretend to regulate mobile lighting such as you would have on a car or a semi or a tractor that was going around bailing in the hours of the dark. And those are not what the problem is. The problem are these big fixed outdoor lights that spread light all over the place. So I would urge defeat of this amendment.
Senator Case?
I also think we have a little bit of a problem defining what agriculture is. It's not defined in this bill. And if, you know, are we talking about the property that, for example, has a agricultural classification for taxation purposes? I mean, when we look in a county and we see little houses that have maybe a couple horses and, you know, for those purposes, it looks like ag. The definition of ag definitely gets stretched into more of a residential community, much more like you see in town, frankly. They're just bigger lots. And I think the good senator also hit the nail on the head with respect to what the problem really is that it's the indiscriminate use of yard lights, perhaps, that people have a false belief that they provide more security, when in fact, studies have shown that when you have better lighting that is directed towards the ground, criminal activity actually goes down because you can see better because you're not blinded by the glare of the unshielded light. And I do point out that the REAs and all utilities in Wyoming, you can order a light from them. You have to pay for it, but that meets a more modern light that directs the light towards the ground. So we can be safer, be better neighbors, and I just don't think there's a big problem. In regards to mobile issues, if the sponsor wanted to work on something with mobile sources, I don't believe the bill captures mobile sources, and I certainly wouldn't want to interfere with anybody's operation of large equipment or anything like that. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Vice President. Further discussion, Senator, just a moment. Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. With this amendment, it only shows me that there are a lot of different segments of the population that are nervous about a bill like this. I would really expect on third reading that we'll find an amendment for the automobile dealers to exempt them from lighting their lots to protect their sizable investment in their cars. It's a safety issue for them, and it's a security issue, and I would expect that we'd have quite a few of these amendments that would exempt certain industries from this onerous situation of controlling something that is already controlled, obviously, by the in my estimation, by the laws we have in place now over nuisance lighting or safety of the public. So that was just my comment. I urge you to vote for this amendment.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Oh, gosh. There we go. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm going back in institutional history here in the legislature when I was down at the other end, and I could see many who were in at that time. We passed the Agriculture Bill of Rights that essentially said if agriculture was there and if it was doing it and you moved in and you didn't like it, that's too bad because it was already there. So that may already cover that. Do more remember that bill when it passed? It was back in the mid-90s.
Senator Honeycutt?
I was initially in support of this bill yesterday, but on my drive out to the hotel last night for a function, I was noticing the highway department has put up all sorts of 100-foot poles with these huge lights. I noticed the cans shoot the light down, but at 100 feet, they're lighting up a whole huge area. And I don't think this bill addresses those kind of safety lights. And then I was noticing all the hotel signs, not billboards, just their own signs. And I was wondering, I don't think we've addressed those issues either. And I'm thinking maybe we haven't discussed this whole bill enough and that this amendment may not go far enough. And I just put that question out to the floor. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and against this amendment. A couple of things, Mr. Vice President. One, as far as I imagine most hotels, I think, are within city limits, and so they would be regulated under city ordinances, so they can be regulated now. So we don't – that's not one of the concerns. As far as the highway department and having the light focused down is exactly what you want in a lot of these cases, is you want to shine the light where it's going to do the most good and not just radiate it out in all directions, but use the lumens that you have and shine those down so that you can illuminate where you're at. Mr. Chairman, a couple other things back on the amendment. One, you know, and I think I do have somewhat of a comfort level with what it means as far as mineral production, and I understand, you know, what maybe, you know, that is intended there. But again, I'm a little unclear on what just in agricultural practices means. I mean, and if it's safety, that means if you just have a light up at out by the barn or anywhere else, it seems to me that would be, you know, you could pretty much open that up pretty much as anything. But I guess the issue that really comes to mind with me is, you know, a lot of times, and in this body I've heard it, and on the other end when I was down there I heard it also, there is local control, and, you know, we like local control except when we don't like it. And, you know, it just amazes me that we are afraid of those people back home and all the evil things that they might do if we give them the ability to make decisions for us. And I would say to you, Mr. Vice President, that I think they hear about things a lot more than we hear about them. I mean, people are more prone to call up a county commissioner and talk to him about what's going on than they are to call up their senator or representative and talk to him about it. So, Mr. Vice President, I guess, you know, I would be comfortable with allowing those people back home. I know in my county, I'm comfortable with my county commissioners and the decisions that they make as far as the regulations, and I could call them up on the phone and speak to them if I dislike it. The other thing is I also know my county commissioners well enough to know that they're not going to go out there and squash industries and that they have in the county. I mean, they're looking for areas that they can have growth and things that do provide value to the county and bring in revenue to the county. And I honestly don't think that they're out there looking to, well, what can we close down this week, you know, as far as that. We don't want that industry or that industry or that industry. So, Mr. Vice President, I would urge the body's defeat of this amendment.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think what perhaps the intent here, our question falls back, do we really need this bill? But what we're doing here with an amendment is perhaps making the bill a little more palatable for some if we make sure our ag interests and our mineral resources are taken care of because they're so much a part of Wyoming. So what the amendment does is make the bill perhaps a little more acceptable for those who would be in doubt.
Further discussion, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think that on and for the amendment, and for the simple reason that what's sauce for the goose, Mr. Vice President, ought to be sauce for the gander. Now, we've heard about yesterday, as you look at this ordinance, I don't know why the agricultural industry is any less deserving of this protection if there's absolutely complete distrust for the local governing bodies who would be imposing these regulations. If there's that much distrust, then why we should have this for agricultural purposes. I mean, and we should have it for the car dealers, and we probably should have it for about anybody if we want to protect industry in Wyoming. I mean, we have competing codes all over the place. Those are problems that we deal with everywhere, every way from the electrical code. I mean, you can't just throw up a light in your barnyard. You have to comply with electrical codes in the barnyard. Now, you're supposed to, well, let me rephrase that, Mr. Vice President. You're supposed to comply with electrical codes when you put the light up in your barnyard. So I think that this amendment is inherently fair in the bill, and we ought to vote for it because, after all, if sauce for the goose ought to be sauce for the gander, regardless of your relative value to the economy of Wyoming.
Further discussion? Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak for the amendment because it takes another thing out, but the amendment itself shows what's wrong. Do we have them for recreational endeavors, ball fields, all the other things that are mentioned that can be dramatically affected? This adds an exemption to another group that I think probably needs it and deserves it, but it also brings to mind what's wrong with the bill, because there's dozens and dozens of other things that could be put in to this bill as being exempted. So support the amendment.
Further discussion? Question's been called on the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor of the amendment, please stand. Those opposed? The amendment has failed. Senate file 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Vasey. You may.
Before I introduce this group, I'd like to preface it a little by saying that in most any activity that you have, when you reach that blue ribbon status, that's as good as you can get. And so when I introduce these students up here, you're looking at blue ribbon students. This school, it was a blue ribbon nationally, nationwide recognition, and they're a blue ribbon school. They're from Elk Mountain Elementary. Their teacher is Mary Jo Adams, and their principal, Mr. Carey, is there also. So if you'd welcome a blue ribbon champion bunch of guys.
Welcome to the Senate, and hope you enjoy your day. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think that I will take privilege of the floor, if you would allow.
You may have it.
Mr. Vice President, I would like to introduce the members of the body to my family. I've taken the opportunity, since they don't come very often. And so in the balcony above here, I'd like to have you meet my, and if they'd stand, my son, Matt, his wife, Stacy, and four really wonderful grandchildren, Brad standing by his dad, Courtney being held by her mother, Beth on the end, and Blythe, little Blythe there in the middle. And so if you would, please welcome them here from Wisconsin.
Hey!
Good-looking kids. And Mr. Vice President, I might mention that I intentionally left my wife out because, you know, you've met her by a previous amendment.
Welcome. Welcome to the Senate. Senate File 108, second reading of the Senate file.
Long-term care facilities.
Senate File 108 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 118, second reading of the Senate file.
Continuance of insurance coverage.
Senate File 118 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 127, second reading of the bill.
Junk dealers.
Senate File 127, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 135, second reading of the Senate file.
Risk management.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Yesterday when we talked about this bill, I represented to this body about the fiscal note and some discussions that I had with the department that they felt like they would be able to carry on through this until the next full budget process. I've had further discussions, and just for the information of the body, they're not quite sure they can do that. As this bill moves through this process, goes to the House, we may be discussing this issue again. But I just wanted the body to be sure and know that.
Senate File 135, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 138, second reading of the Senate file.
Healthcare Professions Database.
Senate File 138 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 146, second reading of the Senate file.
NCAR Supercomputer Funding.
Senate File 146 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution 4, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
Black-tailed prairie dog.
Senate Joint Resolution 4 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file or Senate Joint Resolution be read a third time? Hearing no objection, It is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Four bills on the third reading regular list, and we opted to go through them each individually and felt that that would be just as timely.
Okay. Senate File 10, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 10, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Brucellosis Management Program, and Act relating to agriculture and animals, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 10, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
DeCooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Burns,
no to aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 10, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 10 has passed the Senate. Senate File 24, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 24, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Health Care Reform Demonstration Project. And act relating to health insurance, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 10, having been read three separate times, the question is, Senate File 24. Senate File 24, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 24, having received the affirmative vote of the members of the elected to the Senate, Senate File 24 has passed the Senate. Senate File 141, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 141, sponsored by Senator Johnson, Midwives Licensure, an act relating to professions and occupations. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File We have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 141, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 8.
For the reading, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. And I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 141. Folks, what this does is delete the language where A&I will provide the support services for the startup of the agency. The purpose of removing that language, and then it further adds $20,000 from the general fund for the startup cost. The division of A&I that supports these boards and commissions is not a general funded entity, so there's no general fund there. That means if those employees are going to be engaged in the startup of another entity, then they, in effect, are robbing the or have to be paid by the other boards and commissions in order to pay for that expense. And make an inquiry as to what we've done in the past for other organizations that started up, have discovered that it is our practice in the past to supply enough general fund to get them started. You could, I suppose, give them a loan and then require them to charge dues and pay them back, but what this does is just make sure there's adequate funding so that other boards and commissions aren't paying the cost of the startup cost for this. So I'd urge to support the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, just briefly, frankly, I think the A&I's out-of-pocket costs are going to be almost nothing with this. You've got a five-person board that's going to meet a few times. They're not authorized in the bill for travel or other compensation. You're going to have a little clerical expense, a meeting room, I presume a little stationery, putting out announcements. Frankly, I think that the $20,000 is excessive. So I think we can handle it the way the bill does perfectly well. It's a matter of judgment. It's not a key issue in the bill. I do think the $20,000 is way out of line.
Further discussion, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the other hand, I'm going to support this because I think that it will be good for them to have some seed money. And again, we don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul. So whichever way you vote, you agree with the sponsor. And everybody wins.
Further discussion on the amendment?
Question.
Question's been called on the amendment. Question's been called as Senator Scott.
Point of order. You're spending money. You've got to have a roll call.
Good call. The chief clerk will call the roll on Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 141.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Larson,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines. Closing vote,
Martin,
aye to no. Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Third reading amendment to number 1 to House Senate File 141 has passed. Further discussion on the Senate file?
Question.
Senate File 141, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
No. Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson. Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 141, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 141 has passed the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 5, third reading of the joint resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 5, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Hydraulic Fracturing, a joint resolution requesting Congress to preserve the exemption of hydraulic fracturing in the Safe Drinking Water Act and to not pass any future legislation which would remove the exemption, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate Joint Resolution 5, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 11.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 5. Members of the Senate, this just clarifies the language and removes had and put has in there, and I think it reads better. I would ask that you support this amendment.
Discussion on the amendment? Ready for the question? All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 5, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment has passed. Senate Joint Resolution 5, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Bebout.
Aye. Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
No.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Senate Joint Resolution 5, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Joint Resolution 5 has passed the Senate. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Senator Case.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first file for our consideration is Senate File 134. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File Number 134, sponsored by Senator DiCaria, embossed license plates, an act relating to motor vehicles. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senator Dockstader, Escobel, Landon, Von Flatren. No, Senator Guy, Senator Von Flatren, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Flatren?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that they do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 134, embossed license plates, and to explain this bill is the sponsor, Senator DiCaria.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill is about embossed license plates, but before everybody makes a decision...
I'm not sure you're on, Senator DiCaria.
It's a bit different. It's a bit different than the ones that we've had in the past. Mr. Chairman, all this one would do would give people the option of whether or not they want to get their license plate embossed. And if those people so choose to do that, they would pay a fee, and then they could get the exact same plate that they would get the other way, only it would be embossed. Mr. Chairman, I went purposely to the DOT and asked them to go through this and suggest what they thought would be a workable solution for DOT and how they could go about doing this. As it turns out, you know, the Colorado prison is where they do the embossing as far as that, so they're going to have to contract with the prison in Colorado in order to get these plates embossed, and so that is part of the fee. Mr. Chairman, what the bill does is it just provides a process that if you want this to happen, that you can apply and they will take and get a plate embossed for you. You will get it back and it will cost a $40 fee. There is a 90-day period in there that you'll have to put the form in 90 days before you want the plate. Mr. Chairman, that was because they just figured the turnaround time, by the time you get the paperwork, you get the plate, they make the plate, it gets back, it gets to your county, that will take care of that. In most cases, this will allow you to do that before you renew a plate so that you can do the 90-day. There were some good questions in committee, and some of that was, if you have a new car, well, if you're not sure that you're going to get a new car and you go out on the spur of the moment and you buy it, you know you're going to have to go through the old process, you'll have to get the regular plate. You'll have it for the period of time until you get the new plate. The way it works now, when you change plates, say if you wanted to change for a number, maybe a lower number, which a lot of people like to do, you know, you'd have to take your old plate in before they would give you the new plate. This does not affect the county treasurers and the fees that they charge at that level. Those fees are all there and they will remain there, so those are not any part of this. Mr. Chairman, this would allow for you to get any plate embossed, even the ones, the University of Wyoming plates now, if you would so desire to have those embossed, you could get those embossed. Of course, you'd still have to pay the fee for those plates, which is $100, and the embossing fee, which would be an additional $40. There was a representative from the treasurers in the meeting. They didn't voice any concern as far as how this is done. And so this would allow for just that to be done. And as much as I'm prone not to use props out here on the floor, it's just the difference between these plates and these. And Mr. Chairman, it would actually emboss the steamboat also on the license plates as far as that happening. Mr. Chairman, there isn't a fiscal note in there because the fees will pay for this. They will. The DOT is going to have to buy some new dies as far as the stamping process. The quote in committee, which was a little higher than the first one they gave me, which is $37,000, so they figure they would have to sell. The figure they used in committee was 1,200 license plates to break even. I guess the good part of that is after that, then they can continue to emboss the plates, and they've paid for the equipment, and then it would be, obviously the cost would be much less, but, you know, the fee would stay the same as far as what's in there. So I think it's probably a good situation for the DOT. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions, and there is a standing committee amendment also, Mr. Chairman.
How about if we read that in at this time, and you can take care of that as well?
Senate file number 134, standing committee amendment number 1, page 2, line 1.
Senator DeCaria, or Senator Von Flatern.
Committee number 1 to Senate file 134, and all this was a technical error on the reference on page 2, line 1 of the statutes, and it changes 312102 to 313102, and I ask for the question.
Discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of Senate Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate file 134, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is carried. Back on the bill. Any discussion of the bill? Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, we heard how much, and where. Why?
Senator DeCaria, why?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a lot of people just really like embossed plates. I mean, they look better. I mean, if you look at around the country, there are a lot of those embossed plates out there. It really is a matter of just that the plates look a lot better than the flat license plates, Mr. Chairman, and so it's as simple as that.
Thank you, Senator Carrier. Senator Burns.
Chairman, I just want to say the answer to why this is, if this legislation passes, I'll get it. I've always preferred the embossed plates. We've tried to pass embossed plates back here, and frankly, the legislature wasn't given the choice when they went to the flat plate. And there's no question in my mind we're going to break that 1,200 figure within the first year.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Further discussion on the bill? Further discussion on the bill? You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 134, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 134 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 89. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Senate File Number 89, sponsored by Senator Landon, Fallen Hero Scholarships, an act relating to higher education. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Coe, DeCaria, and Jennings. No, Senators Massey and Von Flatern, Senator Coe, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend. No, Senator Meyer, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the due pass recommendation on Senate File 89. There's a second committee amendment, but I'll defer first to the sponsor of the bill, Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to our education chair as well. I bring to you Senate File 89. And as the good chairman from Cody indicated, we do have a couple of amendments. I would ask that the standing committee amendment be read in and considered at this time.
Okay. Thank you. The reading clerk would read in standing committee amendment number 1.
Senate File 89, standing committee amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 89. Ladies and gentlemen, this deletes the appropriation and deletes much of the bill. And the bill, as it was presented to the Joint Appropriations Committee, was to create a brand new program for the sort of scholarship match. We recommended that the appropriation come out and that you revise the provisions to go towards an endowment match using the existing endowment funds that have already been put out to the colleges and the university. So the First Amendment deletes the appropriation, and the Second Amendment sponsor has will implement the recommendation.
Okay, let's deal with the First Amendment.
Question.
Discussion on the First Amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senate Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 89, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 80, the amendment to Senate File 89 is passed. Back on the bill, Senator Landon. Or back, you have your, want to move the other amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move.
Let's get it read in first.
Thank you.
Senate File 89, Committee of Whole Amendment Number 1, page 1 before line 1.
Back to you, Mr. Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 89, and would like to say, fellow senators, this really, as the good senator from Albany County pointed out, this is now the bill. This amendment, to go through it rather quickly for you, simply allows us to utilize matching funds that the Senate has already appropriated to the University of Wyoming and to our 7 community colleges to match scholarship funding within those foundations. The difficulty with these Fallen Heroes scholarships, ladies and gentlemen, is that they fall below the benchmark. The benchmark at the University of Wyoming is $50,000. The benchmark at our community colleges is $10,000. Many of these funds are underneath those thresholds. What this amendment would do, Mr. Chairman, if you look down underneath definitions under 2116-902, that's where you will find the benchmark under subsection B for the University of Wyoming at $50,000, and the underlined portion is where we would allow for the exception there. If you move over to page 2, you will find how the state treasurer will administrate these funds. To the extent the funds are available in the challenge account, the state treasurer shall distribute matching funds not to exceed $5,000 for each one of these scholarships. $2,000 for the first $1,000 that has been raised in a given scholarship. And then under B, $3,000 for the additional $1,000 that has been raised. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, is that we provide up to $5,000 for each of these funds, and that's where that is outlined. We go through it similarly on page 2 and page 3. We do the same thing for our community colleges, except that you will notice that that is where the threshold is $10,000. It allows those colleges to match those funds underneath that $10,000 threshold. So that is a quick run through the amendment, fellow senators, and I guess, I would call for a question on the amendment unless there are questions.
Discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Discussion on the amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 89, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is carried. Back on the bill. Is there any more discussion on the bill? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have to tell this body what kind of price Wyoming has paid in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think we're all very much aware of that. We know about the movie that's coming out this month. We know that many of our communities, certainly my community up in the center part of the state, has suffered its fair share of losses. I have to commend an individual who lives up in the center part of the state who has taken it upon himself and under his direction and coordination has tried to make sure that we established memorial scholarship funds for each one of these young men that we have lost. We've lost 21, ladies and gentlemen. That's too many, but I am proud to say that through his efforts and through the efforts of our veterans organizations, we have a memorial scholarship fund set up for each one of these gentlemen. If you will, I hope you received your handout that I provided for you, and that gives an indication of where these scholarships have been set up. I'm happy to say, and sad to say at the same time, that every one of our colleges has one of these scholarship funds, at least one of them. And the University of Wyoming also has two or three of these scholarship funds. It came to my attention that some of these funds, fellow senators, simply were not to the extent that I believe they needed to be to last in perpetuity. That's when I decided to bring a bill to see if we couldn't get some help in bolstering those funds. Under the assistance of two of our committees, I think we've arrived at something that will work. It simply allows our colleges and our university to utilize the matching funds that we've already provided for them so that we can bolster those funds a little bit and these fallen hero scholarships can last in perpetuity. I think that's important that each one of these districts, each one of these areas of our state have these memorials in place at the colleges of their choice, and I think it's a really great thing to do, and I would ask for your support of the bill. Mr. Chairman, I would stand for any questions.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Questions for Senator Landon? Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, just one question to make sure I understand it correctly. Are these scholarships for family members or for anyone? And if just how does the process go in selecting a student?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, the scholarship funds are set up by those veterans organizations in those communities in consultation with the foundations at the colleges and the university. I've been asked about this, and I want to emphasize that those foundations at the colleges are going to assure that there is a process that they approve of in terms of how these are selected. Some of these are selected at random, but certainly I would leave that up to the family and the foundation and to those veterans groups. Each of those, I think, has perhaps a little bit different way of selecting those scholarship recipients, but that's okay. I think that's okay.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Ross.
Thank you,
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question with regard to how these are implemented in relationship to Hathaway, and how they may interact.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the good senator from Laramie County, these will not affect, nor will they have any impact on Hathaway. These will be obviously much smaller scholarships. In most cases, in every case, as a matter of fact, that I am aware of, they are small cash scholarships that will be provided to these students so that they might be used as book scholarships, something like that. So most of these funds do not amount to a great, great deal, but I think they, with our help, I think we can get them to a point where they will help students in the future from now on.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? Ready for the question. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 89, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 89 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 66. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Appreciate your vote.
Senate File Number 66, Medicaid Foot Care, sponsored by Senator Esquibel, an act relating to Medicare. Medicaid. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Honeycutt, Landon, Schiffer, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. That reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 66 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Senate File 66, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Scott.
Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, I won't take a lot of time on this because Committee Number 2 improved on our work. It was quite apparent that in the testimony in the bill that this bill should carry an appropriation. So Committee 10 put one in. We worked off the fiscal note, but it was apparent from the fiscal note and the testimony that there was double counting within the fiscal note, so we took that out. But there's some further refinement possible. So I would urge us to adopt this amendment at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, it looks like, actually, Senator Scott, with the Appropriations Committee amendment, it almost doesn't make any difference, but let's go ahead and take care of this. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 66, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's carried.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I ask the Committee Number 2 amendment be read at this time and yield to Senator Nicholas.
Excellent.
Senate File 66, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. Delete the first Senate Standing Committee Amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 66. Chairman of the Labor Committee is correct. There is an appropriation required to implement this program. What we learned is that by expanding the available services, Medicaid services to podiatry-type services, it's their expectation that there will be lower cost in time to this class of folks, which are primarily diabetic patients. By providing them more options, there's believed to be that in the end they will see a lower amount to their to the budget. So what we did, but on the other hand, starting it, they felt like there was going to be a cost getting started, and eventually we'll start to see the impacts of reductions. What the JAC did then was lower the first committee's appropriation to $100,000 of general fund and $100,000 of federal funds. And we further specify that these dollars are not to be put into the standard budget. At that time, we'll take a look at it, and hopefully we'll actually see a reduction at that time. I urge your support.
Thank you. Discussion on the amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I urge adoption of the amendment. I think the Appropriations Committee did good work and should be complimented.
Well, that's unusual. Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 66, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is carried. Back on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I yield to the sponsor of the bill, Senator Esquibel, for an explanation of this good little Senate file.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I also want to send my appreciation to members of the Senate Labor Committee and Appropriations. Appreciate the work they did. I'll be very brief. Why Senate File 66? Because presently, Wyoming is only one of four states that does not allow podiatrists to register to provide care under the Medicaid program. This bill would allow podiatrists to enroll in the Medicaid program in order to provide this care. As you all know, diabetes is on the rise. It's been increasing tremendously over the last several years. And here in Wyoming, with this bill, this would allow at least 12 podiatrists that we're aware of to enroll in the Medicaid program, which would allow greater access for our diabetic citizens, and hopefully they get the care that they need soon enough so that amputations and other cardiovascular diseases might be, if not, at least delayed, and hopefully any trauma that comes up would be reduced tremendously. Understand that if we just prevent one amputation, that would more than offset the cost of this appropriation. I ask for your favorable recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Esquibel. Further discussion on the file. Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering, on the bill that I'm trying to The amendments only dealt with the appropriation. It says here on line 15, page 1, medically necessary foot care services. I don't see anything about diabetes. So I don't see anything in the bill that restricts it to just diabetes. I was wondering if we could get a little more information on that. My concern on this is, as the sponsor stated, we're one of the few states that don't provide this service, but frankly, we're also one of the few states that currently has a surplus, which may become come into question this next over this next biennium. And I'm wondering if this is really the time to start expanding our Medicaid services.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as a general rule, I agree with the last comment that was made. This, however, is a piece of preventive care that I think is potentially a cost savings. I think the last thing we want to do is a general expansion of Medicaid. Just right now, it's designed to be a high-cost program and has some problems. This is getting at one of the features that can make this a high-cost program. Most of the work that will be medically necessary here will involve diabetics. And I can tell you from personal experience that a diabetic, and as you know, I am one, is at risk for getting foot ulcers. And the podiatrists are the effective providers to deal with that. Under our current circumstance, a diabetic that has a foot ulcer and is on Medicaid and therefore can't afford to go pay for a podiatrist really has three choices, all of which, two of which are expensive and one of which is bad. Such a person can go to an orthopedic surgeon. They may be as effective as a podiatrist in caring for this kind of problem. I don't think they have as much experience with it. But I can guarantee to you they're more expensive. The second thing that a diabetic can do is go to the emergency room. Again, you probably eventually get it properly taken care of, but I guarantee to you it's more expensive. Third thing they can do is do nothing, hope it'll go away, and that's the kind that can get you in trouble and cause an amputation. That's a very high-risk strategy, not one we should encourage anybody to take. The reason you have to have an appropriation in it is that once there has been this kind of problem, and for frankly the diabetics that have been diabetics for a significant period of time and are more at risk for complications, regular preventive visits are probably in order. And they do increase your spending in the early years. They hopefully will prevent troubles down the line. And I think there's a good argument that it may well ultimately save us money totally. There will be a few other cases. This being Wyoming, you can go out and get yourself frostbitten in recreational activities. I'll cite that as just one example where a person who's not a diabetic may wind up in need of care from a podiatrist. There's also some other things they do. Sometimes you get genetic abnormalities that, as you get older, require a care from this kind of specialist. And in that case, they specialize in it. They're a more economical way to get that care than the other choices that are available. So you don't want to restrict it to just diabetics, but diabetics will be the largest, far and away the largest part of the business. Mr. Chairman, I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Further discussion on the bill, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. And further to answer that, we did inquire with respect to the scope of the type of services that would exist outside of the diabetes area. With respect to diabetes, a senator from Natrona County explained that fairly well. The additional information we learned is there is a concern that some folks just aren't getting the primary care that providing this alternate care where you don't actually have to go to a doctor, either an internist or an orthopod, you might get more early care or a greater deal of early care, which will prevent further complications. With respect to the other scope of the work, the things that we inquired are, for example, orthotics. Well, right now, if you can get orthotics from under Medicaid anyway, and so to the extent that you go to a podiatrist instead of an orthopedist to get it, it's just going to be less expensive. So all the testimony is that this is a less expensive alternative care for things that are already being paid for under Medicaid. So the assumption is that you get things that are presently being paid for at a lower cost, so we will eventually be seeing savings. That's the purpose for limiting the dollars now to start this up. The additional cost will have more impact on treating diabetics, because the savings we'll see with diabetics is at the latter end after getting them in for early care. And eventually we assume that we will see a reduction. That was the testimony.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Further discussion on the file? Further discussion on the file? Are you ready for the question?
I do have one question.
Certainly. Just a second, Senator Perkins. Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. One question, and I appreciate the explanation. It's very helpful. I do have one further question about medically necessary services in this category, and that would be inserts and shoes and things like that. Is that going to be covered in this too, or is that something that's already covered? Is this going to expand into covering shoes and inserts, which is often a very common thing, a result which can be quite expensive from a podiatrist? And if it's going to be covered anyway, it may not make any difference.
Thank you, Senator Perkins. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, and that was what I understood to be what I used as orthotics, and which be their inserts in your shoes. The orthotics presently are covered under Medicaid, and but you'd have to go see an orthopod to get them because in order to make sure they're medically necessary. So to the extent that existing Medicaid patients are going to orthopedists, this provides a less expensive alternative.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Further discussion on the file? Further discussion. Would all those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 66, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 66 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Mr. Vice President.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriation, to whom was referred Senate File 87, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 99, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 9, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 2, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, and Landon. No, Senator Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 46, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, and Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February the 5th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 8, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Ron Flayton.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. House Bill 43, which is military leasing fees, was read in earlier this morning, and I ask that it be re-referred to Appropriations.
Without objection, is so ordered. Announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Jump the gun there. Announcements. Senator Geis.
Your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resources, will meet up on adjournment tonight to handle House Bill 75, Subdivision Water Supply Study.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Vice President, your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Friday at 8 o'clock in S1 to take up House Bill 26, House Bill 60, and House Bill 106.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Vice President, your Revenue Committee will meet 30 minutes after noon recess in S16, take up Senate File 140, Drug Court Funding, and Senate File 142, Subdivisions, Agricultural Land Taxation.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On our events calendar, it was incorrectly noted that the librarians were meeting last night. Indeed, it is tonight at 5:30 now at the Plains Hotel. Everyone's invited. Bring your overdue books.
Further announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yes, Mr. Vice President. Just a reminder to those of you in the body who are members of the Management Council. The Management Council will meet this afternoon upon adjournment. In talking to the other House, they have a target time of about 5 o'clock. I would suggest ours might be somewhat earlier.
You've heard the motion that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. We are recessed until 2 p.m. Thank you.
Okay, I'll drive with you. Where do you drive with me?